Now, I have tremendously simplified this classification scheme. And in fact, this is the basis of fiqh. You know, when we say we follow the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, you know, people, they're so foolish, they say, what do you mean you follow Abu Hanifa? You don't follow the Prophet? You know, who is Abu Hanifa? We follow the Prophet. When we say that we follow the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, we don't mean we follow Imam Abu Hanifa. We mean that he came up with these series of principles. And beyond him, amongst him, hundreds of ulama, and beyond him, thousands of ulama, then took these principles. And you can see how beautiful they are and how much sense they make, and applied them to the Quran and Hadith and deduced rulings from them. So we follow the methodology derived by Abu Hanifa and the group of scholars that worked during his time to interpret the Quran and Hadith. We're not leaving the Quran and the Hadith. We are interpreting the Quran and the Hadith. Now, tell me, if you come up, you know, if you're sitting there and you're trying to decide these masail on yourself, you're trying to come up with these concepts yourself, and if you say, okay, based on this ayah of the Quran, it says read whatever you want in the salah. And then based on this hadith, it says you have to read Surah Fatiha, then how are you going to rule? How are you going to come up with a ruling? Where are you going to make your ruling from? How will you know what to choose? So these were our scholars. They had hikmah and wisdom and a blessing from Allah that they came up with this mechanism for us to understand the Quran and the Sunnah. This is a means by which you derive law from the Quran and the Sunnah. Nobody is leaving hadith. This is an interpretation of hadith. You need a means of interpreting the hadith. So when you choose a madhab, when you follow a madhab, when you're following the rulings of Imam Abu Hanifa, you're not following Imam Abu Hanifa. You're following the hundreds of thousands of scholars who have derived fiqh through the methodology of a group of scholars interpreting the Quran and the hadith. That's what you're essentially doing. A few days ago, my uncle called me. And he said, you know, I'm reading Bukhari. It says here the Prophet ﷺ stood up while he was and relieved himself. So, I don't understand that. You know, should I be standing up and relieving myself? Is that sunnah too? Actually, that hadith explains that the Prophet ﷺ stood up and relieved himself when he was at the garbage dump of a group of people. Meaning because that area was so polluted, he stood up and relieved himself because he didn't want to make himself impure from the surroundings. And so, yes, when you're in a situation, for example, you go to a public washroom and the place is just completely destroyed, and you know if you sit down you're going to get najasa all over you, then you should stand up and relieve yourself. But in general, that's not the sunnah. That's an exception because of a particular incident. And so these ulama, they study the whole thing. See, there's not just one book of hadith, Imam Bukhari's book. There are six major books, and there are hundreds of other books. Imam Bukhari himself says, I myself knew 100,000 sahih hadith, but I only compiled so many in my book. And then Imam Muslim has similar statements. And so this is why we have tons of other books of hadith. And many of them are just as sahih, but you don't find them in Bukhari. And on top of that, you need to interpret Bukhari in the light of all the other hadith and the Quran as well. So you need to know all of these points. So as an individual, you won't be able to do it. But as a group of ulama, who have over 1400 years of experience, derived, checked, rechecked, argued, fought, discussed, over 1400 years, how this law should be derived, those are the people who understand exactly how the Quran and the Sunnah needs to be interpreted. So this is why we pick and we choose to follow the a'imma of fiqh. And so this is very, very important, because the hadith, the fiqh that I'm going to present is essentially the fiqh as derived by the scholars of the Hanafi madhab. And it's a means of following the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So don't be tricked by people who say, oh, we just follow Qur'an and Sunnah. That's not the way our ummah has gone for 1400 years. 99.9% of our scholars, over the majority of our time, have followed one of the four madhabs. Now, if the scholars, the ones who are educated in the deen, felt the necessity to follow one of the four madhabs, then where do we fall? I mean, we're barely, you know, waking up for Fajr. We're barely getting to the masjid once or twice a day. So we need to be very, very honest with ourselves and very, very carefully critical of how we apply our deen in our lives. And in fact, it makes it easy. I mean, who are you? How are you going to pick up Bukhari and sit there? Now, I'm not saying that you need to restrict yourself to a madhab. If you have the desire to go learn all the books of hadith, learn the Quran, learn the methods of interpretation, learn the debate of the ulama, then do it. Stop everything, quit your job, leave everything, and go study for 20 years. And then come back and you don't need to worry about a madhab. But if you're not going to do that, then be realistic with yourself and go ahead and follow one of these madhabs, because it makes your life so much easier. So inshallah, that hopefully is clear. Again, we went into this discussion because we now are going to classify the acts of wudu. Some of them are farad, some of them are sunnah. Okay, and there are certain things that are makruh that you don't want to do while you're making wudu. So the summary of today's session was, number one, the importance of wudu and the benefits of wudu and the great blessing that Allah has bestowed upon us through the wudu. And then secondarily, the beautiful classification schemes of our previous ulama and the need to follow in their footsteps, because actually they were following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We call ourselves what? Ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah. The jama'ah. The jama'ah of ulama, the majority of the ulama, 99.8 or 99.9% followed these madhab. And so we're not going to leave their way. We are Ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah. We follow the jama'ah. And what we mean by that is the jama'ah of ulama. And those people who 1,000 years ago, when they lived in a much purer era, were very, very clear that this is the way that you have to go. And so we follow their footsteps because they are the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did the Prophet tell us? Al-ulama warafatul anbiya, that the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. So inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue with wudu and we'll go through each individual step, and then I'll show you a sample wudu so that we can perfect our wudu in order to gain the blessings that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions shared with us, so that we may be able to approach Allah the same way that they did. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.